You are listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, we'll learn about what happens in your brain when you meet up with an ex.
First, this weekend, a new program debuted in Wisconsin that gives crime victims confidential addresses. The program is called Safe at Home.
The program was created by a law signed a year ago by Governor Scott Walker. The law had the support of both parties and Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel.
He joins us now to talk about this program and what it does for Wisconsin crime victims. Attorney General Schimmel, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Well, what is the Safe at Home program?
Well, you know, from 2.5 decades of working as a criminal prosecutor, I know that there are many in this state who are living in fear that a past abuser or someone who has direct abuse against them might find them. And so the Safe at Home program is an opportunity for those victims of actual or threatened domestic abuse, child abuse, sexual abuse, stalking, or trafficking, gives them the opportunity to have a legal substitute address, but they can still be reached, because what will happen is the Department of Justice will receive the mail that's going to the substitute address, and then we will forward it out to their actual address within a day or two. So it's an opportunity for them to feel safe in their home, and that's something that it's worst-case scenario, that someone who's been the victim of abuse or threats can't feel safe anywhere, even in their own home.
Can you talk a little bit about how this program was born here in Wisconsin?
Well, we actually joined 35 other states that have a similar address confidentiality program. But unlike most of the other states, ours also requires both public and private entities to enter into this, to use this participant's assigned address. This really came from a movement that was born from the advocacy groups like the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault and Domestic Abuse Wisconsin, and then victim advocates in the DA's offices who have worked with many survivors of abuse who have needed some type of protection from their abuser.
And I know that along the way, stories of some of the victims were persuasive. What kinds of stories did you hear?
Well, you know, I think of a story that I worked with in my own experience as a prosecutor when we had a young mother who her husband was away, and her apartment was invaded by a burglar who sexually assaulted her, threatened to harm her and more particularly harm her baby if she cried out. Well, after the fact, she was convinced there were two people there, but we didn't immediately identify the stranger who assaulted her. And during the time while we were trying to do that, she lived in terror that the person was going to come back and get her again for having contacted the police, because he threatened her that if she did contact police, he would come and get her and harm her and her baby. So during the time that we were working to identify the offender, she kept moving. And when we did finally get a DNA test that linked us to the offender who was ultimately convicted, we actually had difficulty finding her because she was in such fear that that the person would find her again if she had any public information as to where she lived.
And did you end up catching both of the perpetrators?
There was only one, and we'd always believe that from the circumstances of the case, we did catch him and ultimately convict him after trial. And he was a serial rapist that had committed a virtually identical act down in the Nashville area in Tennessee.
We're talking with Attorney General Brad Schimmel right now, joining us to talk about a new program just started in Wisconsin that gives the victims of domestic violence confidential addresses. And if someone is interested in taking part of this program, what do they need to do? How does it work?
Well, they can get access to the program by going through the DA's office that might be handling their charges. They can do that through any of the violence shelters that they might be working with, or they can find more information at www.safeathomewi.gov, and that's our website that will provide them all the information they need and a contact number where they can speak with a human being who will give them advice to get through this.
Are there other circumstances under which the state or a local governance entity would release their address?
We would do that only in very rare circumstances. Usually it would take a court order, and we may reveal it to law enforcement under, for certain official purposes. But generally, no. It's even for voting, that individual. And there was already a system in place to be a confidential voter in Wisconsin if you were a person like this. But now this builds in a structured system for how that's going to function. And so we've worked closely with the Elections Commission to make sure that this is going to work seamlessly for them. We've worked with the court system, because in court cases is another place where offenders can sometimes find contact information for their victims. So we've worked closely with them, with the Division of Motor Vehicles, with school administrators, and law enforcement. So they're all ready to hit the ground running with this.
Now, you mentioned 30-some other states that have similar programs up and running. Do we know from looking at those states how effective this kind of program has been?
You know, I know that in the state of Iowa, they had nearly 200 people sign up in the first year. We expect those kind of numbers here, too. That, you know, I had a number of these cases I knew of when I was in the Waukesha DA's office. And I wasn't the only prosecutor there, and I know that statewide, DAs that had these experiences, all of them have had these experiences with victims who have a significant need to have their address be confidential from potential abusers.
Now, is there any kind of proof, say, or corroboration that someone might have to go through to be part of the program?
We're trying to be very careful about not screening people out or making people reluctant to contact the program. There's going to have to be some basic level of credibility or basis to conclude that the person is a victim of abuse or a threat of abuse. But it's not a terribly high standard.
Now, it sounds as though the state has taken measures working with schools, working with the DMV, and collaborating on keeping this information confidential. What about information that's online from websites? I'm sure you've come across them as well, where you just plug in someone's name and then oftentimes an address pops up. Is that something that should be looked at too?
Absolutely. And as a person is set up into the program, we'll be changing. Presumably, they'll be moving to a new address that's not the same as the old one that the abuser was aware of. And as they move to their new address, we'll assign this confidential address, and that's what hopefully will end up on any online resources where a person might be trying to locate them.
Are there any other measures that Wisconsin might want to look at down the road to keep victims of domestic abuse, stalking, trafficking safe?
We're always working to find ways to determine which cases are the ones that create the highest risks. And Milwaukee County, for instance, has had a very successful program where they're identifying risk factors that have proven to be very reliable. And we're looking to spread that kind of work statewide. DOJ actually has a half dozen prosecutors that we've placed in regional DAs, the DA's offices in different regions around the state to help making determinations as to which domestic violence, which sexual abuse cases are the ones where we have the most to fear from abusers, that they will act again and act worse.
And finally, I want to ask you about another item in the news as we wrap up. Critics, including Democratic Representative Katrina Shanklin at last week's budget committee hearing, have said that the Department of Justice isn't doing enough to address a backlog of untested sexual assault evidence or rape kits. What is your response to those critics?
Well, first off, it's not a matter of there being a backlog. The kits that we're talking about have been accumulated for several decades. The Wisconsin Crime Lab now for quite a few years has been current on all current ongoing investigations. They test 800 to 900 sexual assault kits every year. What's happened is over the years, police departments and hospitals have held on to sexual assault kits for a number of reasons. Oftentimes, it's because the victim did not want to participate in the criminal justice system, and this evidence has been collected from their bodies. Therefore, we don't have any right to test that without their consent. So the program we've initiated has that built in, that we seek their consent before we go forward. In many cases, the person confessed, or consent was never the issue, so no one ever submitted the kit for testing because it wasn't necessary to prove that case. But over the course of the last 3 years or so, we started to recognize as a criminal justice system in America that there is a good reason to test those kits anyway, because we know that many, if not most, sex offenders are serial offenders, and they have more than one victim. So that's why we're moving forward to start testing these. But DOJ didn't create a backlog here, and we're not struggling with a backlog. What we're doing is we're going back and now taking a second look at old cases. And we've moved forward with this initiative as fast as we practically can. We completed the process of putting together the inventory, which was the first step required by a granting authority. We did that in just under a year, which is actually about as quick as it can go. It required us to hire people who went out and got in contact with all 550 law enforcement agencies in the state, went through all of the accumulated kits, conducted an inventory, but then also went through the police reports associated with each of those kits and prioritized which kits should first go for testing, which ones created the highest potential that we would find additional evidence that could help solve an unsolved case.
Attorney General Schimmel, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
That was Brad Schimmel, Attorney General for the state of Wisconsin, joining us there to talk about a new program just started in Wisconsin that gives the victims of domestic violence confidential addresses.